Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 9:04 on the clock. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good one out there. We got some great stuff on the way. Some good stories of the day. A couple of right stories, including one that I think is going to go into our year-end review of
already.
The best of the worst. Yes.
Already.
Man. January 4th, and we got one already, everybody. But actually, wow. Going to start the hour with a little bit of entertainment news in a moment. But I wanted to start on this because I do think this kind of incorporates entertainment. Holidays.
Okay.
We're actually going to help people know when what days you're going to want to take off.
Oh, okay. Oh. Hey, that's
kind
cool.
Okay. Want to schedule your days off around holidays so you can have really long weekends? Well, we're going to help you out with that here.
There you go.
We looked ahead, and here are the days of the week when some key holidays are in 2023.
Nice.
So you can plan around them. A number of these, like Valentine's Day is on a Tuesday.
Okay.
Which is so fitting. I don't know why, but it's so fitting. It just is. Because Valentine's Day is it doesn't go as planned. You wouldn't plan Valentine's Day on a Tuesday.
No, that's true.
A Friday or a Saturday or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Just like voting.
Yes. Ooh. Just on point today. St. Patrick's Day is on a Friday. Very fitting.
Yes, that's perfect. Right.
That works. Shouldn't it always be? Like, shouldn't it just be a rolling date of just always landing on a Friday?
I agree. I think
yeah,
it should
like
be.
Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, it makes such perfect sense of Thanksgiving being on a Thursday. That seems like it would. Mm-hmm. Cinco de Mayo is on a Friday this year.
Perfect.
That is, just perfect. That works out. Juneteenth is on a Monday. That's cool.
Okay. Oh, that works for the weekend. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very good.
The 4th of July is on a Tuesday.
Which means you get a, 5-day weekend?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. this is going to be a very awkward year when it comes to all owners.
Yeah, right.
Figure this stuff out. Because, look at that week. You have your, you come back Monday and then you have Tuesday off.
And then you come back Wednesday.
Is that how it's going to, I don't know. I generally don't know how that'll work out. It'll be interesting to see how, the decisions that are made on that. And it's going to continue. There's a theme of that this year. Halloween on a Tuesday.
Okay.
How do you work that around that one kind of thing? Like that. Now, that one you don't usually get a day off of work or anything like that. You can work around that one, but it is a little weird.
A lot of municipalities just hold the trick-or-treating on a weekend.
Yeah,
that's true, too. Yeah.
So.
Christmas is on a Monday, along with New Year's Day being on a Monday.
Mm-hmm. That works out.
That works out nicely. Mm-hmm. Can I? Because we're all about bold solutions on the morning show, right? That's what we're here about.
We make decisions.
I have a bold solution to all this. Make all the major holidays, the major ones, 2 days long. Two days long.
I like this plan.
Yes, because then you can, if you have issues like that, you can always extend, pull back however you want to do it. I'm telling you, this is the solution we've been looking for.
I agree with you, Seth. See? For once. I agree with
for
you.
For once. See, I do occasionally come up with a good idea. Occasionally.
You can hear it in her voice. She doesn't want to. But
begrudging. Very begrudging. Yes.
It's got to be done. I'll take one for the team.
I wonder how much people actually, because I would say that after the pandemic, certain things that I haven't seen articles on or studies on or anything, but I have noticed as somebody who is an over planner and loves to plan, I noticed a lot more people are planners now. People are not saying as crazy as I can be about it or anything, but looking for things to look forward to so they plan ahead and that. I think we are always that way. We just kind of a little more poignant about it now. So it's going to be interesting to see a year like this where the holidays are kind of in these wacky spots and everything, how people work around that.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
I actually have, and I didn't realize this, I didn't plan on saying this on the air, and I didn't even think about bringing it up, but I guess I probably should. I have a vacation planned.
Yay!
For real?
Yeah, and by I have one planned, I mean my daughter, Bria, planned one, and I am being a third wheel kind of on it.
Being dragged along.
Yes.
Melissa, what we have to do is we have to put together a nice gift for Bria and thank her.
I think so.
For forcing him on
a
vacation.
A nice gift basket? We should go to Quality Foods.
That's right.
We should.
Put up a nice basket together, send it to her as a thank you for finally getting this man out of this building.
I agree.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. She had has been talking over the last couple of months with my papa in Georgia, and they've gotten really close. In fact, they talk more than I talk to her.
That's awesome.
Well, they got catching up to do.
Yeah, absolutely. They got talking and stuff, and she's like, "Well, I'd love to come see you, and he'd love to see us, and so we're gonna travel down, probably fly down there on a Friday, and come back on a Sunday. So it's not gonna be a huge trip or anything, but it will be a Friday. I will not be on the air here.
Hey.
I mean, you know, there's at least that. That'll be in February. I think February 10th, that Friday, the February 10th, that
nice.
Is the day that I'll be doing that and stuff.
Yay. But he's even given up a date, yep. Seth. This yep. is
he's
like
giving us an
actual
date.
Real. This is really happening.
It's really happening.
I'm proud of you, James.
I thank you, because this is actually very difficult for me. Because now it is very real.
Yep.
It is real.
And look, the idea of doing something with any of my kids, my daughter and stuff, that's awesome. Sign me up. I'll do that any day of the week. I'll miss a whole week's worth of work for that. And seeing my papa, you had me there, too.
Yeah,
that
right.
sounds really
yeah.
good. Mm-hmm. I've never taken a day off. I've never done this before. And I think that at a certain point for me, it became a crux almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
it wasn't just about, because, look, I don't have the excuse anymore, well, I've been working alone a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a year or two here. You know, I got to get past a lot of that stuff. I have a lot to work on when it comes to my body language and a lot of those things in that regard. And one of the things I have to work on is being able to leave this building and know that it's going to be all right.
Exactly.
Ratings aren't going to fall down to the basement, and you know we're gonna lose advertisers or any of these things.
Oh,
or
no,
anything.
No, no,
we're not gonna have dead air. It's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay.
It's different now. And so by saying this on the air, I have made it official in my own brain and all that that I actually have to fulfill this now, because I don't lie to the audience, I don't lie to my staff. So now I actually have to do it.
See, now it's out there.
The
now
reality is really setting in real time right now.
Everybody out there, gotta keep reminding him that he did do that. And finally. Finally get a day where I can take him. I mean, I can give him a hand and help him out with the morning show. Just kidding. Oh, wait, that's going to make him feel, wait a minute, I'm not going to go now.
I'm going to come back that Monday, doors are locked.
Yeah.
My headphones are sitting out there like on the doorknob. I had a good run. I literally feel a weight on my chest right now.
Oh, no.
Like,
it's
just
okay,
talking
James.
About this. That's so
it's
weird.
Right.
It's
this
okay.
is one of those weird things.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. That's
going
really good.
It'll be fun.
It will be.
This is kind of a cool one, too, I thought. Many iconic albums are celebrating milestone anniversaries this year. I remember when I first started in classic rock, I was only in for about a year, and we updated our playlist, which you really have to do in that industry, because otherwise you're just playing Freebird every hour on the hour and stuff like that. We started, and Panama told us, hey, look at what we're bringing in, and it was this song from Nirvana, and this song from Soundgarden, and this and that, and Travis and I look at each other, and we're like, that ain't classic rock, what are you talking about, man? He's like, well, actually, the technical term of classic rock is anything that is 10 years older. Like,
there you go.
If an album came out 10 years ago, that is technically classic rock.
There you go, yeah.
And all of us immediately felt older. Like, not just from that story, but in this moment, because you know what's coming.
Yeah,
I'm
we
about
know what's
to tell
coming.
You,
yep.
Yeah, albums that are, like, turning 50 this year, meaning they came out in 1973. Dark Side of the Moon.
Wow.
Dark Side of the Moon is 50 years old.
Wow.
Queen's original album, Queen.
Okay.
Aladdin Sane from David Bowie.
Whoa.
The legendary Goodbye Yellow Brick Road from Sir Elton John. And this one really hits me. Band on the Run from Paul McCartney and Wings.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know why, but that song, my dad and I and my little sister, we'd always sing that together. And so for some reason, I think of that as an 80s song almost, even though obviously it came out in the 73.
1973.
You know, but it just for some reason, for me, it's always like it came out in the 80s or something like that. Like it was released in the 80s, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It was released in 73.
What's it called?
Band on the Run.
Wings.
I always thought it was Man on the Run.
No, it's Band on the Run.
Oh, yeah.
Misheard lyrics. Boy, that's a segment we should do on this one, right?
I kind of want to re-listen to it now and think of it that way. I wonder if it's a different song.
On the Run.
Yeah, it works. It works. Yeah.
Boy, talk about putting things into perspective. I just realized 50 years. Yes, it is. This year is my parents' 50th wedding anniversary.
That's cool.
So, wow. Okay.
Hey.
Yeah.
I am really spoiled on that one. Whatever year I'm turning, I know that my parents' anniversary is that year.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
Yeah. They're 45 years. That's very easy. I've always been able to.
Yep.
My sister and brother hate that. But, turning 40 this year from 1983.
Oh, this is really going to do it now.
Yep. You ain't kidding, man. I didn't want to talk about this. Now, I'm so mad at myself for doing this. Like, I didn't have to do this one.
Bring it on.
Kill 'Em All from Metallica is 40 years old. Paranoia from Def Leppard.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Pyromania.
Pyromania, right.
From Def Leppard. War from U2.
Oh, good grief.
Ozzy's Bark of the Moon. Well, this is, and Synchronicity from The Police.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for some reason, I thought that one was older.
Huh. No, that was their last record before they broke up.
Hmm. And if then none of that did it, these are definitely going to. Turning 30 years old, meaning it came out in 93. In Utero from Nirvana.
Yeah.
Doggy Style from Snoop Dogg. Versus from Pearl Jam. Janet from Janet Jackson. And Siamese Dream from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Just give me my walker now.
Yep.
Oh, stop it, you guys.
I'm done. Turning 20. I don't feel as bad about these.
Yeah.
Meaning they came out in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Elephant from the White Stripes.
Oh, whoa. For some reason, that really hit me. I don't know why. Yeah. That's whoa.
Meteora from Linkin Park. Get Rich or Die Trying from 50 Cent. Dangerously in Love from Beyonce. Mm. All, yeah.
Just, wow.
Translatism from Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's the second part of this. It's crazy to me to think of a band, like my brother really likes that band,
yep.
Death Cab for Cutie.
Yep.
It's crazy to me to think that those guys have been around for 20 years at least.
I know.
That surprises me because I didn't hear about them until recently. So.
That's the thing. I mean, because the idea, because I still think of Jack White as like a newer artist. But no, this has been around for 20 years now.
50 Cent's career has already come and gone.
I know.
Like, it's already come and gone. It's crazy. That's nuts. And turning 10 years old from 2013, Nothing Was the Same from Drake, Pure Heroin from Lorde, The 2020 Experience from Justin Timberlake, AM from Arctic Monkeys, and Reflector from Arcade Fire.
Man.
Now, that one didn't make me feel old necessarily, mm-hmm. but I think it did for some people out there. I know for a fact it did for a couple of listeners out there that happen to be in their 20s.
And all I have to say to them is, welcome to the club.
Yep.
Those ones that people in their 30s now. Now you know what it feels like. Yeah.
There are songs, though, in certain music and everything, and I can't necessarily think of anything off the top of my head, that make you feel young, that make you think young.
Yeah.
There's something about yesterday there was a Smokey Sings, I think it was, from ABC that you put into the bumpers.
Yes.
And I hear that, and I immediately was 8 years old again.
Yeah.
It was weird. It still does it to me, that song. There's certain songs, certain bands that I hear them, and I immediately feel younger. I move, and then my body reminds me that I'm 40.
That you're 40s, yeah, right.
I breathe. And
yeah.
It's kind of cool. And look, I think Seth is too. I tried to have fun with this a little bit by playing the old card and everything. It's a lot better than the alternative.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Getting older is a lot better than the alternative, so I'll take it.
Think about the compendium of music that you have been able to experience at this point in your life.
It's great. I agree.
Just getting to experience somebody saying that word. I love that word. Such a good word. Nobody uses that anymore. It's a good word. But you're right. It's kind of cool to be able to think of that. I do this with athletes a lot. One of my favorite things is watching a player from their first year in college and to their retirement ceremony or them at their Hall of Fame speech or whatever. I think it's kind of cool to see that story play out and everything. Mm-hmm. Musically, it's very similar. To have seen a band, off the top of my head, just grabbing like a Nirvana or something like that, who started this in this way and kind of ended up as this, and seeing that evolution. It's not a great example because they didn't have that long of a shelf life.
Right.
But even something like the Rolling Stones, where, you know, we weren't there in their prime or anything like that, and yet they've been around our whole lives. And
exactly.
They're literally right now working on a tour. Like they're
still touring.
Yes.
It's incredible, and it's also got to be quite the job to be their manager.
Can you imagine? No.
You know, if anything, that should actually make you feel young. They've been around your whole lives. They're still touring.
True.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
They still think they're young. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
You're as old as you think you are, right?
I guess that's it, right?
I saw some footage of one of their recent concerts. I don't know if it was in – it had to have been in the last year or so or whatever. Mick Jagger's still wild out there, still dancing just like crazy.
Where does he get his energy from,
I
man?
I wish I knew.
Jeez.
There is – yeah, that man has a different motor to him.
He does.
Red Bull gives you wings.
Wouldn't that be hilarious? It turns out that's his secret. Like, he's literally just drinking.
I want to see
Red Bull.
Mick Jagger do a Red Bull commercial now. For some reason, I just want to see him.
Yeah, for, especially older Mick, I think he might actually do that.
He probably would.
He is having so much fun with his career the last 20 years,
man.
Where he's been doing more projects and more things that I don't think younger Mick Jagger would have ever done.
No. Hmm.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio, Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. And God, that ain't right story here that I wanted to touch on. And you know, this is a bad one. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's a bad one.
Flat out and say it.
This almost sounds like it could be the premise for a road trip themed, like Home Alone type movie.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay.
Last week, a 55-year-old man in Thailand pulled off to the side of the road in the middle of the night to use the restroom. His wife was sleeping in the back seat. But after he got out, she decided she could also use the bathroom, and since they were stopped, why not?
Right. Sure, right.
The man came back and accidentally drove off without her.
Oh, no!
Thinking she was still asleep in the back.
Right.
And he drove around 100 miles before realizing she wasn't there.
Oh, my goodness.
The woman didn't have a phone or money, so she decided to start hoofing it on foot because she didn't want to stand around waiting on the side of the road in the middle of the night.
Makes sense.
She walked 13 miles before finding a police station at 5 a.m.
There aren't
any specific details on how they reunited, but it sounds like the police were able to let the man know where to pick up his wife.
That's good.
That's terrible.
Horrible. Horrible, terrible. Also hilarious if you were not involved in it. If it was not you, kind of funny. Kind of funny.
Great story of perseverance.
Yeah.
13 miles.
Right. Also, I wonder what the conversation was like after he picked her up. That'd be an interesting one.
He got the cold shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know exactly how that conversation went. That's exactly how the conversation went. Silence. Nobody's saying it. Like, I don't even know if he looked over at his wife. Like, I'm not even sure.
Or he would occasionally like just test the waters. How are you, dear?
Boy, that'll be something to talk about.
Yeah.
Years from now.
Years from now.
Maybe in my next life.
The weak laugh, always a good one.
Are we getting a divorce?
Are you going to murder me now?
Yeah, that's a rough one. I would be prepared for payback if I was him in some way or another. Even though to play both sides of this and stuff, I don't think he can necessarily be blamed for first driving off. What gets me is the 100 miles part.
Right.
You think at some point
he
would notice something?
Yeah, or just like. Checked.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like, is she still breathing back there?
Like, is quiet it? Back there. Is the love of my life okay? Just take a little, like, half a second to look behind here and everything. My neck's all jacked up, and it's hard for me to turn, and even I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, she also has the fodder now forever.
Oh, yes.
Okay, but you left me.
She could literally shoot him in the foot.
And she'll justify it.
Yes.
Yep.
You left me there. Side of the road.
She'll always
in the dark.
Right. And I feel a little cringy saying this and everything, but 100 miles is a long distance.
That's a long
to not look back.
Yes.
Do we think he looked back and just kept going? Like, do we?
Thought he could get away with it?
Oh.
Oh my gosh!
I didn't know you were there. I thought you were there the whole time. I know.
Oh man.
Yeah. Why do you got a profile on Plenty of Fish though? Why? Never live in that doubt.
Terrible.
Never ever
that doubt.
No. Nope.
I would like to think though. How great would it be if you are like a light couple and you can take life lightly? And
yeah,
this is like great humor. They're like. Couple, yeah, especially around other couples.
Right.
Like, think of a great icebreaker. Like, hey, Joe, tell them about the time.
Yeah.
If you could have fun with that, that could be a great story.
You know, the spousal, you know, the fun spousal conflict story, and they're just waiting there with a smirk on their face. Like,
wait
till you hear ours, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, to have that one in your back pocket. Yeah, it's you're like, right. That's a great
one. That trumps everybody else's.
Yeah. I do think that one of the more interesting things about that too is like her 13-mile walk. You got to go through like a process there, I imagine, going from anger to revenge to understanding. Like I imagine there's a process through that too. Yeah. Like back to
tears,
and then it starts all over again, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole big cycle.
Why did you forget me?
You're so dead.
I don't know if you could turn it into a full length movie, but I'd watch a short film.
Short film.
I think you could.
Yeah, you probably could. Probably could turn it
just
into a 2 hour.
Think of all the adventures that could have happened during the night on that walk.
That's pretty good.
It's like after hours, you know, one of those like, all the crazy.
And then,
events.
But then the guy driving, and he's having like this really heartfelt, like pouring his heart out conversation to his sleeping wife. All the things that he never told her before.
Oh my
And
gosh.
He's decided to unburden his soul while she's sleeping.
Yes. Yeah.
To get up the courage to do it while she's awake. And then he turns around to wake her up, and she's not there.
God, is that hilarious.
Wait, did she jump out when I was in the middle of... Was it that bad?
Darling, where are you?
That is so good. God, I wish I'd have thought of that. Man, that is funny. Now that's a sketch I would write.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good sketch right there. That is hilarious. We will take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news, and we'll write some comedy sketches in between now and then.
There you go.
We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 9:34 on the clock. Seth, Melissa, and James here. Let me say it, let me say it, let me pour an uncle for you, let me reach, let me be. It's crazy to think this, it's a good song. But it's crazy to think it was a pop hit.
Yeah.
It was a genuine hit.
Out of left field hit. It was a big hit, too.
Huge. And Enya had a couple of good songs.
Well,
a lot of good songs, I should say, but a couple of hits, that actually got radio play.
Yep.
I have a really fun story about doing interpretive dance in the middle of a bar to some Enya one night.
That is an off-air story. I have to hear.
Wow, my goodness.
Man, I'm not
I don't know what to think
one.
About that.
Every once in a while, stuff happens on the air, and I forget about it. I'm not forgetting that. This is interesting. A woman on TikTok has been racking up the hits with a theory on why men choose the women they want to marry. And here it goes. Quote, men marry the women in front of them at the time they're ready to get married. If that's true, then it's all about timing and not about finding your soulmate or the love of their life.
Oh, boy.
She heard it from a photographer who does weddings, and she feels that that's an actual, like, theory. Now, I don't know if she believes the theory or she's just presenting it rhetorically or not.
Right.
But my immediate reaction to that is ridiculous. That is insane. That makes no sense. And then I think about friends of mine that have literally always had the same haircut. Always have never changed their haircut. That's guys. We are like that in many ways. I think this is ridiculous. I think it's silly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there might be a grain of truth to it. Might be. I do think that there is a lot to be said about when you meet people and what stage you are in your life. In my 20s, I was nowhere near ready for marriage or a serious relationship. Did I want one? Did I try to have one? Yeah, I literally got married in my 20s and everything. I also got divorced a year later, or 2 years later, technically.
Yeah, right.
I look at myself now, and I'm still a work in progress, but I'm so much more prepared to handle these things.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, now I understand that I don't understand everything about my own brain and heart and all this stuff.
Exactly.
I would say, and I'm just, speculating theorizing based on things that I've read and experiences I've had, I would say that's probably true for a certain type of man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That would make sense.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
And that also has to do with where they are on the wealth spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Had to bring money into it.
First thing I thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad you did, because you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And being fair about this, it's brought up in the situation on all sides. I've seen this on all sexes. It is not a sex thing or anything.
No.
The last two engagements I had ended, and the girl told me because I did not make enough money. Like,
okay.
Point,
well.
Point blank. Like, it's
at least so they were honest.
I felt the other side of that too, but the side that I first thought of, and I think you might be referring to, Melissa and such, is this like top 1% of people that like the trophy wife or whatever, and they have a wife, but they want to quote upgrade or whatever or all these things, and so they divorce their current wife, like many of our senators and congressmen have done at times, or former presidents,
or entertainers,
yes, or entertainers, or all of the above, every genre. Field has done this and everything. We've all heard horror stories of somebody divorcing their wife while they're in the hospital or something like that and everything. And then they marry the woman who's could be their daughter. Like, they're that young.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff. I don't know if that's what you were thinking. That's the first thought I had, Melissa, was that.
No, I was thinking more people that have money versus people that don't.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
because in my opinion, my own opinion, love is a commodity that can be bought and sold to them, not
to
me.
To them, yes. Yeah, yeah, you're saying to them, yes. Dude.
I see, yeah. It's like, wow, I didn't realize she was so cynical. Wow.
Come on, guys. You're I bought your love with bananas and fake bananas. Yeah, yeah, I don't know why you're judging me.
Yeah, right, right.
Which would have been fine if we were monkeys. Jeez.
Do you,
guess what? Seth, newsflash.
Oh, you think I am a monkey? Okay, oh, that totally makes sense now, yeah.
So I'm not.
And I love the fact that you are yellow today.
It's my favorite color, man.
Nothing wrong with that.
I didn't even catch that. I didn't even get that. That was perfect. That was so good. I have a hard time. I don't. There's certain things, very few of them, I mean, you can count them on one hand, that I think that I am still a bit naive about. And I'm holding on to and usually they have to do with romance or love or anything. So it's hard for me to push on this one, but it does make me question that this idea I've had in my head for a very long time. And I'm not talking about like certain mental issue, like psychopaths or anything like that. That's a whole other category.
Right.
But is there the type of person that can not love? Like, are there people out there that really that they don't know how to love? Like, that their idea of love is completely taken from movies or materialism or something like that? Or is that just the only way they know how to love?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with environment. If they're brought up in a household where they don't see love, where they don't feel love, how could they know?
Yeah, and what do they base it on then?
Right.
I mean, that which is, and then that makes a great, you make a great point about media and everything, because that if they see that and it looks good and nice, and that's what, wow, that looks a lot better than what I see here.
Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense.
That's what I'm going to choose.
Exactly.
This jewelry store tells me I don't love my wife unless I buy that new ring there or whatever and that kind of thing and
yeah.
stuff. But I think about my mom's side of the family quite a bit with this. My grandmother and grandfather had their issues, and my sister, my mom and her sisters had their own things with them, but they were genuinely loving people and wanting to be more affectionate with their kids. They just didn't know, how do you hug? How do you do this?
Right. Like how do you show it, right?
The generation they were raised by had none of that. So they were learning literally without a, you know, help book or anything like that of how to hug their kids.
No guide.
But one thing they did know how to do was, well, if I buy this and I give it to them, they know I was thinking of them.
I make them this meal, they'll know I love them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And
it's different ways of showing it, right?
Yeah. I think that while it is, I don't think any of us are going to be say right out the cuff that materialism is a part of love or whatever or anything like that. I think for some people, that's just how they show that
their
they
love
care.
Language.
That's a great way of putting it. That's also what went through my head too. Mm-hmm.
And I made a horrible, you know, stereotypical judgmental statement about rich people, but.
Oh, but I think I'm making the same one. I'm right with you on it. I'll double down on it. And
this is bad. How?
Yeah. It isn't. It's a
care about people, Seth. Even though you don't feel it, I care about you.
I don't think that it trying to say
very
well,
Christian of you.
If you get it to a certain bank account, you can't.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You can't. Sorry. Love. I'm not saying that so
no,
much.
No.
But I do think that your vision of love is comes to fold. I don't think that you all of a sudden get money and all of a sudden become materialistic. I think you always were that person, and money just helped you embrace that or be more of that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And in that regard, I completely agree with Melissa about love being a commodity and something. I go to the store and I buy a significant other. Basically, that's what it is. Yeah. Is that they're little shopping around? It's not. I fell for this person. It's I picked this person. Mm-hmm. That ain't love to me. That's dangerous into some other stuff and everything. That we moved away from. We were supposed to move away from as a society.
Yeah, but then we have dating apps.
Where
it's made it kind of more commonplace for us to shop.
Yes.
Shop for
you're so right.
Yeah.
Your date, your mate, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's become so common that there's tons and tons of people out there that have never used Tinder but know the phrase swipe right or swipe left.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yep.
You're so right about this. It's a good call. That's a good call.
It's prevalent now in the society. It's entered the culture. So, mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and take it to the top of the hour with a classic That Ain't Right story. That good one I was telling you about is still coming up, everybody.
Oh, okay. Can't wait.
And some good stories of the day and plenty more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth, Melissa, and half a James here.
He's ready for traction. Yeah.
At least we got the better half.
Yeah, we did.
Doctor says I need a backiotomy. Need a whole new back.
Place that back.
A whole new back. So I have been teasing it. Here it is, a classic That Ain't Right story that I do believe will go down in the running when we do our year-end review of the best of the worst. But that's just my vote. We have to get consensus.
All right.
Here.
Okay. Sounds good.
So we'll see. And of course, it takes place in Florida.
Oh boy!
We say naturally. A good morning to our listeners in Tampa. We have a couple in Miami. Wish them a good morning.
Yes.
There are two main issues when robbing a place: how to get in and how to get away with all the stuff that you're stealing.
Sure.
This is pretty basic.
Get in, get out.
Makes sense, right? Yep.
These people did not think through that second part. Two people in Florida, a man and a woman, were arrested last weekend after breaking into a house through an unlocked door. They also allegedly stole from a Dollar General earlier that day. And it wasn't hard to catch them. While at the house, they called 911 for some reason. They didn't say anything, so the deputies were dispatched to the area. When they showed up, the female thief said that they'd called 911 to ask law enforcement to help them move some stuff from the house they were robbing.
What?
This is a real story. This is not an Onion story, everybody. And they wanted to the officers to give them a ride to the airport because they were going to New York.
Oh my goodness.
The deputies did help them bag up a few of the items they stole, and they did give them a ride, but not to the airport. And they weren't bagging them to give them to them. That's called evidence, everybody.
Yes, it is.
They were bagging evidence, and they gave them a ride back to the police precinct.
They sure did.
Where they were both charged with burglary and just being knuckleheads. I mean, just... Somewhere, the great Carl Hilke is just smiling and like, say it, James, and I will. Stupid enhancer. This, if ever there was a rule in the rule books of law and everything, you get 10 to 15 for this crime, and I'm going to tack on two more years because you are a knucklehead, man. You need some time to sit back. You need to take you out of society for a little bit, let you think about
what
you've done.
Learn how to contemplate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, what they should do is like they give them the regular sentence and then sentence them to like second grade.
Yeah,
you know, you obviously missed a few things, so let's get you back into school. All right,
that's really good. Actually, I like that.
Okay, well, okay, let's forgive all the other stuff right now and ask another question: who calls the police to help them move?
Yes, yes.
Who does that?
Anything? Yeah,
anything.
Even if it was your own house,
yes,
in your own place.
You call the police to help you move? No, you call movers.
That's not what 911 is for.
No,
no, no. That's a pretty crazy one.
Oh. Good question, though.
That was, man, that is a doozy of a wow.
So you think that goes into the end of
it
year?
It certainly does.
In the running,
yes.
Okay, okay. For sure.
We may have to revisit that like every month and marvel at
so
it
again.
So
were they originally from New York?
I'm so curious.
Because
so
then Florida gets a pass for this one.
That's true.
Yes. And I do actually think, because I always like to double check these things, in the other article I read, I do believe that it said they were from New York. I didn't think of that at the
time.
There
you go,
right.
Florida.
Let's put this in perspective. Lots of people from New York end up in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's what native Floridians just start saying. It's not us. Mm. It's the New Yorkers. Mm. They come down here. They're
like
the dumb
that.
Ones.
I kind of like that. Yeah. That's pretty good. That's not us. That's pretty smart. I'm saving that one. We're saving that one. And I need a palate cleanser.
Right? Okay.
We need a palate cleanser here. We got a bunch of good stuff we want to get to real quickly here. First, a woman who struggled with depression found a way, actually more than 300 ways, to improve her mental health by doing something new every day for a year.
Wow.
I like this lady, man. I really like her. Wow. Jess Mel says she's now the happiest she's been in a decade after trying new things for 365 days, including a try at hot yoga and beekeeping.
For one day?
For one day.
For one day.
Oh.
What do you do with the hives then?
Maybe you visit somebody else.
I know.
During the pandemic, the 34-year-old suffered from anxiety and depression, but the lockdown made her realize that she was depending upon her routine as insurance to keep her going.
Wow.
So last year, on December 27th, as the pandemic was fading, she decided to try something new every day for 100 days. When that period ended in April, she found herself eager to do more. One full year later, the English woman has completed her challenge, yet still has no plans on stopping.
Wow.
How about that?
Jess completed a wide range of firsts, including bleeding a radiator, using a sewing machine, and joining a gardening group.
That is diverse. Wow, that's really cool.
From her home in Surrey, she was able to visit European cities like Vienna, Budapest, Copenhagen, Dublin. And back at on her home soil, she tried speed dating and line dancing.
Nice.
Quote, "I feel pretty emotional about it, to be honest," said the resident of Red Hill. "I can't believe it." I wanted to finish it off with something exciting, so in the end, I finished up by convincing my dad to let me sit on the roof of his car as he drove down the road.
Whoa! Jeez!
My final one was making my first ever Instagram reel for some of these things I'd done all year.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, cool.
Pro tip, she adjusted her goal midway through the year after finding it difficult to do one thing every day. She settled on simply doing 365 new things throughout the year.
Okay.
Oh, see, that makes sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Quote, "That way I could do 10 things in one day if I was free."
Mm-hmm.
Joined sometimes by friends, Jess says the best part about the whole experience has been putting herself out there out of her comfort zone.
Mm.
"I feel like I should constantly be doing something. From entertaining first, like watching an ice hockey match, to playing with miniature pigs, to educating guests by learning DIY tasks, mm-hmm. all these things. Mm. It's now just part of what I do." So now she just feels like she should just be doing this all the time now.
That's so cool. That is very cool.
Yeah, I'd love to see the list of the 365 things.
Yeah. I do want to share a picture real quick of just some of the shots of her doing these things. And that's a genuine smile.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
She's having fun golfing.
Yep.
Picking up pumpkins.
Yep.
I don't know what is she doing in that. Is that a skateboard?
Yeah, yeah.
That, she's on a skateboard.
Yeah. First
oh, cool.
One. Yeah, yeah. And all of these literal firsts for her too. So again,
awesome.
Just to hit that home, I mm-hmm. thought that was really brave and really cool. Like,
yeah, that's a great idea.
And it sort of became a habit too. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Wow.
Well, and maybe you know we can't do that many, but we could try for like one new thing a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or one new thing a month.
I really like the idea of just having that number, mm-hmm. but not having to do it every single day.
Because
there's going to be days you can't, just
right.
You're busy doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great idea. So yeah, like maybe 52 things
mm-hmm.
and try to do it like every week. That's
week.
Very cool. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
We will revisit this a little bit more tomorrow, but as we wrap up 2022, we have the acts of kindness that throughout the year of 2022. So I have here the top 10 acts of kindness in 2022 that warmed our hearts and restored our faith in strangers and neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Like number one, Gordon Ramsay shocks school cafeteria manager who called into his talk show asking for a substitute chef for the day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never heard of this.
It was, unfortunately, did not get covered very much or anything like that.
Oh,
but
wow.
Back in March, when Tina, a middle school chef in England, cheekily asked celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay for help preparing food for 300 of the school's pupils, Tina told the radio show, "I'm cooking here on my own. I work in a school kitchen, and my chef has gone home sick for the day, and I have a one out with COVID."
Oh, no.
And I was just wondering if Gordon would help me out with this, give me a hand.
That's nice.
Although Ramsay had prior engagements, he sent one of his chefs, Rob Roy Cameron, directly to Bedshire to grant Tina's whale of a wish.
Oh, wow.
How about that? Wow.
And no, and obviously no ordinary chef. Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
I love that story, too, and I remember that a bit of that story only because Gordon Ramsay has such this tone to it, and he built his career on it. He's leaned into it.
Yeah.
About the angry chef and a lot of that
persona,
stuff.
The persona, yeah.
I've heard so many stories like this about that guy.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
He has done so many things like this. He's it would not shock me right now if he's at a soup kitchen, like, just doing that stuff
right.
And everything. He really genuinely, like, by all fronts, as much as he tries to push against it and everything, and it doesn't help him get a new TV show or anything.
Right.
He seems to be a nice guy.
I really kind of want to do the follow-up story, though, and talk to that lady and see how it went that day with a professional chef school cafeteria kitchen.
Yes, chef.
got the best. The kids got the best meal they've ever had right there. Yeah.
Well, or he showed up. You're like, you really want me to cook chicken nuggets? Okay.
Okay. Sure.
I remember this one going viral. The moment where a guy jumped out of his car to give an umbrella to a couple stuck in a DC downpour. It was all caught on video.
Mm-hmm.
That not only did the driver go out of his way, jumping out into the rain to help provide some shelter for a stranger, the woman being drenched on a sidewalk used the umbrella to shelter a person in the wheelchair instead of herself.
Wow, look at that.
Which was what caught his eye and part of the reason he got out to cover her up.
Wow. Look at that. Paying it forward immediately. Nice. That's pretty cool.
High school teens swoop in to support sixth grade stranger when no one would sign his yearbook.
Oh, I heard this
one. I remember that story, yeah.
A sixth grade at a charter school in Colorado, a sixth grader, was depressed and disgusted with himself because almost no one would sign his class yearbook. After it broke his mother's heart, she posted a photo to a school Facebook group and was overwhelmed with how much love and encouragement she received from parents.
Hmm.
Some of them showed their kids, who hatched a brilliant plan to uplift the younger student, which gave him a new empowering attitude about his life going forward.
Hmm. Wow.
That's awesome.
It has to be noted, the kids heard about this because of the parent, but they did this on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's an important note.
That's a very important note.
Yeah, that one gets me a little bit.
Yeah. That's great.
About to be evicted, a woman who was saved by neighbors who bought with her home for her.
Whoa.
This one really gets me. I'm sorry, guys.
Wow.
After being threatened with eviction, a 70-year-old retiree was able to buy the house that she had rented for two decades after a $250,000 was raised by community on her behalf.
Wow.
Wow. Known for having a heart of gold and a pair of green thumbs, Linda Taylor was a beloved neighbor in her Minnesota community for 19 years. A volunteer who helped with the homeless and needy as a bright star.
Wow. You know, but I just want to say, who evicts a 70-year-old woman?
Yeah.
Seriously, what are you doing there? Stop
absentee
that.
Landlords.
I've seen that.
Wow.
I've seen that kind of stuff
that
happen.
Makes me angry.
Let's talk about what's happening in Canada.
Yep.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Heck, in a lot of major cities, too, still going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A Sikh gas station owner sells gas 50 cents per gallon cheaper than what it costs to help customers.
Mm.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I remember this story in part two because there's a great interaction he had with a young kid who had never met a gentleman in a headdress before.
Yep.
And his interaction with this young kid, letting him touch it and play it and putting it on him and all this stuff and everything.
That's
and if
excellent.
You know anything about those heads, that's an honor. You don't take that off
for
nothing.
That's important for Sikhs, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool. That was a great story.
Yeah, excellent.
And not that he needed to do this for his culture, for his people, or anything like that. But it does. It certainly, as somebody who can speak to this, that does play in the back of your head, and you do hope that you create some new love from that,
some goodwill.
Yeah, goodwill. Yes. The Burger King worker of 27 years gets $270,000 from strangers when they see a lack of company goodbye gift. In July, social media got fired up for Kevin Ford, a fast food employee who posted an Instagram video unwrapping a thank you gift he received for 27 years of perfect attendance on the job. Seeing how it coincided, continued a reusable Starbucks cup, a bunch of candy, a pen, and a single movie ticket. That's what he got. They decided to give Ford their own gift for his exemplary service, $270,000.
Whoa.
Nice.
In personal donations for the man so near to retirement.
Yes.
This is a ton of strangers coming together to do this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How cool is it that the total came to 270 and he was retiring at 27 years?
That's perfect.
That's cool.
That is really cool.
That is
a good one. And we know there are other great good stories of the day out there. Please encourage you to get them to us, everybody. Mm-hmm. Share your good stories. The more local, the better. We love it. Mm-hmm. Get them to us, everybody. We would like it. And certainly another good story of the day is the team we got here. It's great to have everybody in studio.
Yeah.
Really good to see everybody.
Well, it might have been good for you, James. I don't know.
Just because I'm throwing things at you doesn't...
You know, it makes it really hard to do a show when you keep doing that.
We will have more
duck better.
We will have more morning show for you tomorrow, everybody. But stick around for that. You too, have a great day.
You too.
Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio.